Check, check, 1, 2, what's up? It's DJ Ill Kid. We're here at Cervantes' other side, and we're here with the one like...
DJ Squarewave here, representing from East London.
And...
Yo, it's Sup Night.
Yo, big up. Hey, thank y'all for joining us. Appreciate it. This is for the Sub Dot Mission blog here, so thank you for joining us. So, fresh back from Wisconsin, tell us a little bit about where you just came from and what that show was like.
Yeah, so big up the Infrasound crew, man. Up in Wisconsin, in the countryside, you know, we saw bears, we saw deers, we saw eagles. For real, man, like big bears crossing the road in front of us in our cars. Three great stages with like great sound. It was banging, so much fun. Big up everyone that we met out there. We saw a lot of crew from Denver wearing Submission t-shirts. Shout out to Goth Trad, big up Widler, Trevor Kelly, Dub Amin, Sawley.
Ganja all, White Knight.
Yeah, all, yeah. All the Submission
Hatcher,
agency.
Man like Terry Hatcher. Yeah,
big up Joker. Yeah, it was such good vibes, man. It was a great time. It was super muddy, you know, so it was a bit of a challenge. Like, by the end of the 3 days, we were covered in mud.
I was only there for the one night, so I was all right. You know what I mean? He's the one that had to go through more of it.
He fell over and fucked his leg up, so it was a challenge, but it was fun.
That was the mud.
Yeah,
it was so slippery, twisted my knee a little bit, but it's okay now.
We highly recommend it. Everyone had a smile on their face the whole time, and the music was great. It's good times.
Right, man. So Square Wave saw some animals and some bears and whatnot.
So bears in the wild, bro. Wild bears. We never seen that shit before, man.
y'all don't have wild bears in London, man.
No.
We see them in the zoo, but that's about it. Not in the wild.
Right. So y'all got to see some bears and animals for the first time. Sick Night almost, what did you break? It was wet. Tell us about that.
I was just walking, because it was so muddy. And I just kind of slipped over, bent my knee a little bit. But I was okay. I got through it. Had a little bit of Kvassier and I got through it.
Put some Kvassier on it. Yeah. So, kids out there, if you ever get hurt, throw a little Kvassier on it. You'll be all good.
Brandy helps anything, basically. Cognac helps anything.
Nice. In the States, we throw some Tussin on it. If we got a cut or something like that. You got a broken arm, broken leg, put some Tussin on it. That's what Chris Rock says.
Dubstep and brandy, that's the cure for anything.
Big up, man. So you mentioned some couple names that you saw out there. Either somebody that you saw out there at the festival or basically in dubstep, Sook Knight, who do you think is the most entertaining or the most funny person in the scene, DJ or musician or anything like that? Who's the funniest, most entertaining?
The funniest person I saw at the festival was Hatcher. I mean, Hatcher's always got the jokes. Hatcher's always going to crack you up. Joker as well, both of them. He's not called Joker for no reason.
Right.
Yeah, they were cracking jokes. Yeah, man, it was good to see them on the other, like, away from England as well, like, you know what I mean? Yeah,
like, pretty much the other side of the world, you know.
Right. Yeah. So Square Wave, when you see somebody across the world in the wilderness with bears and all kinds of crazy stuff, and you're not in London on the bricks, like, what is that like to see somebody from across the world, someone that you share bonds with?
You know, it's crazy, you know, because for us, like, in the UK, it's still quite, you know, it's a small underground scene. But just, you know, from the, like, passion of the listeners over here, because of the internet, we feel blessed, you know, that we come over here and get to play for people who are so into the sound, you know. So,
right.
Yeah, it's great for us, man. It's a blessing.
Right. Big up. I know that American culture is definitely a big influence in some parts of London. And some parts of London is a huge influence here on America. Sook Knight, how would you explain the influence of America on London and the London influence on America?
I know, obviously, the sound has changed, obviously. So, obviously, over here, this is where the bro step stuff kicked off. And now we got a bunch of people in the UK doing that kind of sound. But then we got the deeper sound, which is we got that over here, which is our sound, you know what I mean? So we got our sound of dubstep, and you got the American side of dubstep, and it's all crossed over.
Right, so it's reciprocal, right? Yeah. So we got our sound and your sound and their sound. It all really becomes our sound, right? Because we're kind of one fam, and that's what, you know, submission is all about, being a family and really capturing that sound and essence, whether it's deep, something you can, you know, meditate to,
yeah.
Or something you can skank out to, right?
Especially in a place like Denver, the crowds are so open-minded. And it was great for me to see, like, you know, I got a big up Blood Thinners and Savage Society. I was there for the set. I checked it. Like, it was the first time I'd seen the crowd. Like, I could feel the energy, the vibes, man. It was going off. And, you know, inspired me too, you know. Because we don't really get much of that sound and those acts over in the UK. So it was wonderful to see.
Right, big up. Well, you know what? It sounds like y'all got mad love for America. We got mad love for y'all, so we'll keep the love going. Let's start out about where it began. How did you get your name?
Oh.
First, tell us your name and how you got it.
Well, the name's Suk Knight. And so basically, I was about 15, and I went to see one of my cousins who lives like 2 hours away from me, and one of his best friends had a lisp. So he couldn't say Suk properly, so he started saying Shug. And from there, everyone started calling me Shug Knight. And then from there, I was like, I might as well just keep the Knight, keep my real first name, which is Suk. And that became my name.
So how did you get started out? What was some of the first influences? I know you had like an old school crew, and you heard a few tunes here and there, but what do you think really got you into music, and what was like the beginnings of your production?
So, well, music's always in my blood. So my dad was a singer. My uncle was a singer. So they had been taking me, like me and Swayway, they took us to studios when we were like 7, 8 years old. And when we saw music being made,
environment.
Yeah, and it was just it like we saw it being made, and it was just like we were so young. It was just like, yeah, we want to do this as well. It looked so cool at the time, and we were so little, and it's just like, yeah, I want to do this.
It was Indian music, so
that's what it was then.
Yeah, if you check out, so we're from an area in India called Punjab.
Woo!
We got a type of music with Bhangra. You got to check.
Yeah, I know all about that business. Yeah.
That's where all my Indian samples come from.
Oh man, and we love those Indian samples,
yeah,
man.
So that's why I started putting all of that into the dub. But the way I got into dub was, well, we got into drum and bass first, and we had an older cousin. So when we was like 9, 10, we had an older cousin who was about 20 years old. And he just bought this BMW, white souped up BMW with subs in the back. And he started playing drum and bass.
Oh,
and
damn.
Bass music. And when we heard the bass, we was like, and this was our older cool cousin, so we was like, we want to be like him. And it was the bass, and we was like, yeah, well, I want like the bass music. And then after that, we just started listening to jungle drum and bass. And then from there, it gradually became garage, dubstep, and all of that
grime, you know. But that's the beauty of London, you know. For like the UK is quite a small country, you know. London's one city, but growing up, we were surrounded by jungle, drum and bass, grime. In West London, you had like Jah Shaka throwing big dub parties, and just being around all those different scenes. You know, when the next generation comes through, they'll combine them all, come up with something new, and that's how you got dubstep. And you know, it's like just being in a really creative city, you know, just helps to create all of this new stuff.
Right. And you talked about hearing the bass at first. I remember the first time I heard bass, I can imagine not really hearing it, but more feeling it, right?
Yeah.
So it's more of a feeling about feeling the bass, right? So some of your beginnings started at, was it more of a grime beginning? Was it more of a dubstep beginning? Was it more of garage?
It was drum and bass.
Straight drum and bass.
Yeah, so
what were some of your influences
for drum and bass? Well, it was jungle first.
Right,
so it was
right,
like
jungle,
you had like Dr. S. Gache, Chrome and Time, DJ Hype. And I remember the first CD we got hold of was it Jungle Massive or Jungle Mania by DJ Hype?
Yeah.
And that had all the jungle classics on it, and from there we got into drum and bass.
But then we were lucky too, near our school where we live, we had like one of the coolest record shops. It was called Boogie Times.
What was it called?
Boogie Times.
So we live where Ram Records started. We live in Romford, and that's where Ram Records started. And
so we just used to see, we go to the shop, and we used to see Andy C, we see Hype, we see Brocky, Mickey Finn, all these legends just hanging out. So that was how we were growing up, man. It was crazy.
That's the real London story, man. And you know what? Like, that's what a lot of us junglists here in the States, we grew up on that, man. You know, all the Mickey Finn and DJ Hype. And all of the legends and
the
drum bass
coming over and selling out big stadiums now, man.
And that was amazing, right, to see that whole thing. So where was the bridge between you listening and hearing drum and bass and going to do your own production?
Well, I think Sook first started making grime for MCs in East London.
Before that, I started making drum and bass, and I never had a phone, and I was 16 years old. And I used to go to drum and bass raves, give CDs out to all the big DJs. And one day, Kenny Ken rang my house phone.
Kenny Ken, legend.
He rang my house phone, and my mom picked up the phone, and she's like, "Sup, there's someone on the phone for you." And I was like, "Who could this be?" Picked up the phone, it's Kenny Ken, and he wants one of my tunes to play out in a rave.
Oh, I bet that was mind-blowing.
And I went to the school the next day, and like I was like, "Yo, Kenny Ken,
how old were
tune.
You at that time?"
I was 15 or 16.
What? Kenny Ken's on the line?
Yeah.
I need some tunes?
Yeah.
Woo. That's good, man. That's great.
And then from there, obviously, that spurred me on. I was making more drum and bass, but then... And then we heard Marianne Hobbs do the dubstep show, Dubstep Wars, and then when I heard that, I heard a couple of Koki's tunes, and then that was it. When I heard Koki's tunes, and I was like, this is what I want to do.
So do you think Koki was maybe the first bass artist to really capture drum and bass?
Koki's the one that got me into dubstep.
Wow.
Big up.
Specifically, I think it was his tune called Haunted.
That legendary
Marianne Hobbs show.
Right.
I remember, like, when we used to go to college, man, I was listening to that show so many times,
Me too.
And then, so at the same time, we started going to the record shops, buying DMZ records.
Standard.
And then in Brixton, they were throwing the party. We went down there, I remember. So we're probably talking, like, 2006, maybe, 2006. We went down there. We saw Cotty and Clue Kid.
You still got those records, man? They're worth a lot of money.
Yeah, we got
on
them,
Discogs.
Man. Stashed away now, man. Yeah.
Stashed away, man. Can you believe it? What do y'all think about that? How much records are going for on Discogs? You know, we got Anti-War Dub. What's that? Up to like $200 or $300 bucks right now. What do y'all think about that? Is that crazy?
I guess it's supply and demand. It's business. Yeah, and it shows how much people want it out there. You know,
if there's not many of them about, so obviously it's gotta be worth a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, man. I think you got a couple of high price records on there.
Yeah, because I know a few of mine's never got repressed, so I know they're worth quite a lot.
Right.
I'm holding on to them now.
Right. So Koki kind of, in my opinion, Koki was like one of the first ones to really capture the intensity of drum and bass and bring it to a halftime.
You got it,
I mean?
Perfect. That's exactly the same way we feel, man. He had those drum and bass lines at a slower tempo, and we were like, yo, what is this, man? It sounds crazy. I like it.
And at the same time, I was doing a load of grime stuff. But
tell us about your grime stuff.
So, I was part of a grime crew in Birmingham in UK. And there was like,
what was the name?
MDK Cartel.
MDK Cartel.
So there was like, I was the only producer. There was two of us DJs, and we had like 10 MCs in our crew. And then that was where my grime kind of stuff started from. And yeah, and then while I was doing the grime sets with them, and I started hearing the dubstep, and I started playing dubstep in my grime sets, and it was going off because I felt the dubstep was it was all 140, but dubstep was a lot better produced than a lot of the grime stuff. It's just more technical, and that's what I liked about it. Yeah,
you got to remember, like, at this time in London, like, the drum and bass scene is popping off, grime is popping off, dubstep's going crazy. So it was like, it was a good time to, you know, just be there, be involved. and just like get a flavor of everything, and then, you know, that's how you take influences from all the different scenes and create your own stuff out of it, man. Like,
yeah, man, dubstep is really a hodgepodge, or like even a gumbo of all sorts of different definitely. Sounds that bring people together. Tell us about your first big release, Sook, that really went worldwide and really blew
up. So I think that was Born Invincible, I think.
Right.
It was? Yeah, I think it was Born Invincible, which was, yeah, which was my first dubstep release. And that, because N-Type, the first time N-Type played it on Rinse FM, it got like 3 or 4 reloads.
Oh, 4 reloads?
Yeah.
Wow, I've heard triple reload.
Yeah.
Got a quadruple?
And then
we're standing here with Sick Night. Got a quadruple reload on the Hatchet Show. This is big, man.
I think at one of the DMZ parties, Plastician played.
And then Plastician ended his set at DMZ with one of my chains, which was Jinglist.
Jinglist.
Yeah,
yes.
So that was my first release, which was Born Invincible and Jinglist.
And then he took it to the next level with a couple other tunes.
Yeah, then I think I put out the Spliff Dub remix that I done for Zombie, and then I done Cheese Louise, which was Ganja Dub, and yeah, Up in Smoke and all of that. Actually, forgot about Diesel Not Petrol.
That's what I'm trying to get to right here.
I put out
Thank
Diesel
you.
Not Petrol at
I
want to
hear about that tune.
Yeah.
What was that tune?
That was before Born Invincible, yeah. That was first, because I put out Born Invincible in 2007. I think Diesel Not Petrol come out first. And that PlayStation played that, started playing that on his shows. Yeah.
I remember the Ganja Dub, man.
Yeah.
I remember the Ganja Dub. Was that, what is that a sample from?
Rodigan.
I knew it was Rodigan, man.
Rodigan.
You know what? Rodigan's voice is captivating.
Yeah.
And did that work out? Did you get him to do it, or sample, or like?
I sampled it from somewhere. I'm not gonna say. I'm not gonna tell you where I got it from.
It's all good.
But then I spoke.
I was about to say it.
This is gonna be broadcast worldwide, so we gotta keep it down.
I'm not telling you where I got the sample from. But then I spoke to Rodigan after.
Oh, okay.
When
so it's all clear.
I put the tune out and I said, "Look, I got your vocals," and he said, "Yeah, it's cool."
All right, big up.
Yeah.
Rodigan's a legend and a king. Love some of your early tunes, and you've just been keeping it going since then, man. So, what do you think about all this grime explosion that's been going on in the States? I'm not sure. Well, I'm actually sure that you kind of know have a pretty good idea of what's going on. But it seems to be, to me, you know, we've always been listening to grime, but it's been a little bit on the up and up, especially with Skepta.
I just saw you got AJ Tracy coming over here soon, next month. And, like, it's blowing up kind of the same, because he's just blown up in UK a couple of months ago. So it's coming over here quick, a lot quicker than stuff was before. So it's good, I like it. And I've just recently started getting back into the grime myself, so I've got a whole bunch of new grime stuff that's coming out as well now.
Right, big up. So Square Wave, how did you get your name, my man?
So I was producing, like, this is back in probably 06, 05 again. I was making a lot of drum and bass at the time. In London, we got a station called Cool FM, which is, like, legendary. It's been running since 1991. Which was, like, you know, that was the starting point for a lot of people. That, you know, it was introducing the sound. It's the same way as Sook. I was going to parties. This is kind of before the internet, so I was burning CDs, trying to talk to people, give them demos. And then one day a DJ from Cool FM just rang me up. He was on air at the time, and he's like, "Yo, I got your music, man, I like it, I'm gonna play some of it, tell me a bit about yourself." And I didn't even have an artist name. I just wrote my phone number on the CD. So I kind of panicked when I was on the phone, and then I just looked around my room, and then I had a favorite vinyl. It was by an artist called Surge from Bristol, and the track that I saw that I was playing at the time, the track name was Square Wave. So while I was on the phone to him, I just said what I saw. So ever since then, it's stuck, man. I've become Square Wave. But it's cool, man. It's got a personal meaning for me, you know.
Big up, man. I love hearing the stories from back in the day, man. And actually, while we've been talking, I heard you guys say "we." So how is the connection between you guys two?
Brothers.
Your brothers?
Yeah, brothers.
Wow, man. Sorry for me not knowing that. this is good because a lot of people don't know that you guys are actually brothers.
Well, it's not hard to tell. I think we look kind of the same.
Yeah. Well, you know, everybody from London looks the same to us Americans. No, I'm just playing. But yeah, exactly, man. That's cool. So who's the older brother?
I'm 2 years older.
Square Waves 2 years older.
Yeah, so I remember I started taking Suk out to the raves when he was like 16 years old. with a fake ID and all that stuff we were doing.
That's a good big brother, man. I appreciate that. My brother did that for me too.
And then
my
now,
brother showed me this.
And now he's bringing me in, and 10 years later he's helping me out, man.
Hey, yo, big up, man, because, you know, that's how brothers work, man. I got a brother, his name is Nate, and he showed me the ins and outs of a lot of different things. I also have another DJ mate that I consider one of my brothers, too, DJ Vent. And, you know, when he's DJing hard and I wasn't DJing as much, vice versa. So we've always been holding it down like some brothers. So that bond of brothers is really important. So
definitely.
Big up you guys holding it down for sure, man.
We live together, so...
Oh,
we're always, like
a,
we're
that's
always,
a whole different
we're,
interview
we're
right
always
there,
with
man.
Each other.
It's a music house, man. It's like non-stop music in our place, man.
Right, man. That's so dope, man. And I can see the magic between you guys and see the chemistry as well. Can't wait to see you guys play together. And we're so excited. So let's talk about moving fast forward. What's coming up for Suk Knight in 2016 and 2017?
I'm working on my album at the moment because I thought right now is a good time for me to make an album because the grime's exploded, so I know I can put a good mix of dub and grime on my album. So I'm working with quite a few MCs again. I'm working with P Money again, I'm working with Footsie again, and then
it's Footsie trying, again.
Yeah, I'm working with a couple of
one of his bars, isn't it?
There you go.
Oh man, P Money, man. So tell me who's your favorite? Well, I we might have already exposed that, but who's your favorite MC to work with? Who's the funnest MC to work with?
The funniest MC to work
funniest
with.
Funniest MC to
the
work
funniest
with.
MC to work with is a Big Nasty.
Oh, I love that guy, man.
And that guy in the studio, he's a comedian.
Yo, I love that guy, man. Tell him to come out here, man. I want to talk
comedian.
To him.
So
tell him to give me a call. I want to do an interview with him, man.
So he's
I love
just,
that guy.
He's just a natural comedian. So he's just, once you get in the studio, you're just going to be laughing your ass off for the whole session.
Yo, I actually played that tune, Gas Pipe, here.
Yeah.
Explode, man. Yeah, I love that tune. I actually call that my theme song, you know? So, so Big Nasty's the funniest MC to play with grime. Who's your favorite to record with? Are we, like, really getting in the vibes, man, really working?
Yeah, well, P, Footsie, Big Nasty, like, they all, once you get them in the studio, they're on it straight away. They're quick.
Right.
Like, even if they haven't got anything written down, they write the bars down so quickly, get it recorded quick, like one take, two take, that they're proper
real
professionals.
Professionals, you know, professionals, man.
Square Wave, what's coming up for you 2016, 2017?
So I've got another record coming out on Moonshine. So I've got to big up the Moonshine crew. I put out an EP, me and Digit made 4 tracks that came out last year and are sold out on vinyl now. So another record with Suk's done a remix for me on the B-side.
Nice word.
I'm making a lot of like deeper 140 dubstep stuff, and I'm working with sort of 2 female singers at the moment. So we're doing that. I'm going to get into videos as well, man. That's my next step. So I've been just researching about how to do all that kind of stuff, like the equipment, the lighting. It's just everything is just a fun creative process what we're doing, you know. It's good to do everything yourself and learn the ropes.
Absolutely. Y'all have been doing this for a while. Who are some of the newest artists, somebody that maybe we haven't heard of, or someone on the up and up, upcoming, that we should be looking out for?
In the dubstep scene, I've got a shout out Arkwright. He's making loads of wicked tunes. Big up Causa from Germany. I like his stuff too. Shout out to Bisweed in Estonia.
Bisweed, big up.
Yeah. He just done a remix for me, smashed it. It's such a worldwide scene now, man. We're getting so much, like, new good music from young producers sent from everywhere, man. So it's healthy times.
Hey, keep us updated. Let us know. Suge Knight, anyone else that you want to mention? Like someone maybe we haven't heard of, someone on the open up.
There's a whole bunch of new grime MCs. Like,
tell us all of them,
young
man.
Cats that are coming through. So,
as many as you can think of.
Like I mentioned AJ Tracy earlier, and he's coming out here next month for you guys. I mean, for submission and that. There's like a whole bunch of them. Capo Lee, Jams, Nico, Lindsay. There's a load of the new grime kids that are sick. Novelist,
Izzy Gibbs.
Yeah,
Izzy Gibbs, like, man, like,
they're sick. And yeah, these are I've started getting back into grime a bit now, so you'll probably be hearing a lot more grime from me again.
Big up, man. The mission of Submission is moving people through sound, not hype. Suge Knight, what's your mission?
I think my mission is the same thing.
Same thing. Big up, man. Big up. Yeah. Square Wave.
Yeah, man. You know, we're just making bass music for sound systems, connecting people worldwide. Have a smile on your face and just have fun, man. That's it, you know?
Word up, man. Well, I don't want to keep you guys too long here, but I want to see, Suge Knight, if you have anything else that you'd like to add to the interview or anything else you'd like to give us some input on.
Trying to think.
We've got to just big up all of the Denver
man.
Crew, man.
Everyone out here, man.
We love coming out here, like in the USA. Everyone's like super cool, well into the sound. And it's great for us, man, to come so far away from home. And just to see like people feeling the stuff too, you know. And the sound system culture spreading out over here. From a small city like London, you know. So it's great to see. Yeah. Big up Nicole, big up all the Submission crew, everyone involved in Denver. Good stuff, man.
Big up, man. Well, we're here with Suge Knight and Square Wave, and we're about to see him get busy. You'll see this on the Sub.Mission podcast. You'll also see some videos and pictures. Again, thank you all for taking some time with us tonight and doing a quick interview. And big up, y'all. Thanks.
Bruh.
Sub.Mission. Bruh.
Yeah, nice one, man.